This is KRCB's North Bay Report. I'm Bruce Robinson. As a girl, Deborah Blum devoured her mother's collection of genteel murder mysteries, unknowingly developing a fascination that eventually became the subject of her own most recent book, The Poisoner's Handbook.
I grew up reading early 20th century murder mysteries. They have these really elegant, mysterious poisons. So once I became a science writer, I thought, I would love to write a book at some point that both looked at murder, but looked at the peculiar ways the poison works.
And that's just what the book does, at least for half of it. Her subtitle, Murder and the Birth of Forensic Medicine in Jazz Age New York, spells out the other half.
If you look at the structure of the book, it's two things. One is that it follows these two pioneering forensic scientists as they try to invent the field. The other is that it's organized by poisons. The opening chapter is chloroform. It goes through cyanide and arsenic, carbon monoxide. So each chapter is going to tell you a lot about that poison, how it kills you.
Along the way, there are numerous factual tidbits about the various poisons, such as the preservative properties of arsenic.
Arsenic is a wonderful preserver of tissues. So they used to find what they would call arsenic mummification. You'd exhume a body because suddenly you were suspicious of the death, and it would be perfectly preserved months later by this arsenic.
Blum also came across some fascinating and appalling historical details, such as the federal government's concerted campaign to deliberately poison bootlegged alcohol during Prohibition.
What the government did was they said, okay, well, a lot of this bootleg whiskey is stolen industrial alcohol that's redistilled to make it safe to drink. We're going to make it so poisonous that it'll never be safe to drink. And they started dumping poison into industrial alcohol, and thousands of people died.
Despite widespread public outcry at the time, Blum says, that practice was continued until Prohibition was repealed. One of the leading voices in that outcry was Charles Norris, the man who became the first ever chief medical officer for New York City. Aristocratic and independently wealthy, Norris helped invent the science of forensic toxicology, she writes, and was a colorful crusader against the casual use of some common poisons.
He constantly led these crusades, not just in the Prohibition era about poisoned alcohol, but he successfully got New York City to prohibit the use of hydrogen cyanide as a fumigant in homes and businesses. He crusaded against industrial use of radioactive materials. He lost his war on controlling lead and gasoline. He was an amazingly smart, funny, outspoken public crusader.
It wasn't until the 1930s that university programs in toxicology were developed, Blum adds, and while murder by poison is far less common now than a century ago, there is still plenty for the lab scientists to work on today, from lead or cadmium in children's toys to newly recognized hazards in popular plastics, not to mention all the crimes that need solving almost every night on network television. I'm Bruce Robinson reporting for KRCB News.